sangre, aleluya.
Amen. If we fail to exist, God will still be God. Amen. Now, my original plans were to continue what we were going over on Sunday, but the Lord changed it. So I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord gave us. Can I say amen? Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Truly, we bless the Lord. We thank God for my life. Amen. For all that God is doing in her life, in spite of her health challenges, God is still good. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We thank God for all of you, and we just thank God for the direction that he's taking all of us. Amen. You know, if you would have thought back some years ago, who would think we would be where we are now?
Yes.
Just think back a few years. Who would think that we would be where we are now? Some of us may have been in pleasant situations. Some of us may have been in unpleasant situations. Some of us may have been in situations because we're just in the situation.
Amen.
Amen. We had no control, we thought. But how many know that God looks beyond what we can see? Amen. We can have all of our plans to go in a certain direction. But how many want to give God permission?
Amen.
I said, how many want to give God permission? Say, Lord, when you lead me,
I will follow.
Amen. That's the danger that we make as people of God. We determine what we're going to do before God gives us our direction or our marching order. Amen. And sometimes we can stay in a situation for too long because of what we want to do. Hallelujah. But I like what Jesus did. Amen. When Jesus was tired, he knew it was time. And when he went to the garden, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Who wants to just be in the will of God? I said, who wants to be in the will of God? The best place. We know the safest place. But the best place to be in this whole world is in the will of God. So my will is second nature. My will takes a backseat to God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. And a lot of times when God puts us in a place, there are voices that try to take us away from where God wants us to be. Amen. And what we're going to go over tonight, amen, like I said, I had planned on finishing up on God Can Help You If You Let Him. God took me in a different direction. And the direction that he took me in is kind of alarming spiritually. Because a lot of us think we're doing what God wants us to do the way God wants us to do it, when indeed God is not directing our steps. God is not leading us. Amen. And we have been deceived into thinking that we're doing God's will. Can we say praise the Lord? So we're going to turn, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verses 3, and then we will conclude by reading verse 14, and then we will go through some other scriptures. Amen. But being deceived to think that we are doing God's will, being deceived to think that we are honoring God, being deceived to think that God is well pleased with us, when indeed God is not well pleased. Amen. Don't get quiet. Stay with me, amen. Acts 8, verse 3 reads, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed. faith, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in the city. And when God moves, there's always great joy. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because at a long time he had bewitched them with his. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word, and the church said,
"The word of the Lord is blessed."
Sorry, amen. You may be seated. So what we're dealing with tonight are our subject matter that we are actually dealing with is, are we following God and his word? Are we being deceived by Satan, the great illusionist? Are we following God and his word? Are we being deceived by Satan, the great illusionist? Illusionist is the same as a magician. Right? Like, I know one year David Blaine was supposed to be going to New York City. And part of his illusion was that he was going to make the city of New York disappear. Do y'all remember that? Right? He was going to make New York City disappear. But in all actuality, he could not make New York City disappear. So it had to be an illusion. An illusion is when you make something seem to be true that is not true. An illusion is when you try to make something real that is not real. Well, the devil has been an illusionist ever since the beginning. Because he deceived Eve into seeing something that was not true. An illusion is when you feel as though you're doing the right thing, apparently, but we're not. So Satan is the great illusionist. And the way that he gives us our illusions is he tricks us. He deceives us, just like Simon appearing to be some great person and saying great is the power of God. So tonight we want to deal with, are you following God in truth?
Amen.
Are you being deceived by the spiritual illusionists?
Amen.
Are we following God in truth? Are we being deceived by the great illusionist? Now the illusionist will make you see things that aren't there.
Amen.
That's the illusion. That's the trick. But let's go back to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to highlight portions of this. Amen? Verse 9 said, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery." Is the same thing as magic. It's a magical art. It's a Greek word meaning he was tricking the people. He was deceiving them how? Through magic. Just like the devil today is using magic. Magic is you think things are one way when they are another. You know, just like you always see someone do the magic card tricks, right? And they give you a card, and all of a sudden they're going to go through a whole deck of cards, and they tell you the card that you have in your hand, and you are shocked. You're like, how did you know? Because the trick is, they make you think that you're in charge. But they really are in charge. Amen. It's not a trick at all. It's an illusion to make you think one thing when they all the time are doing another. to the people of Samaria. And they even had the nerve to say in the latter part of verse 10, because of his sorcery, because of his illusions, because of his magic, they attributed that he was the great
power
of God.
Jesus.
The devil has not changed. He's still deceived. He's still using his magic. He's still trying to blind the people of God. Now, you would think, now God is moving, they're healing, there's all kind of miracles being done, and they said there was great joy in the city. Verse 10 says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the
greatest.
Not to the apostle, but to the who? The sorcerer. To the illusionist. Because the illusionist gave the appearance that he was the great power of God. That's why it's so important that we know God's word.
Amen.
And that we follow God. Because as long as we know his word, we follow God, we won't be deceived by the deceiver.
Amen.
Verse 11 said, and to him they had regard because that of a
long time.
He didn't just do this for a little while. Of a long time he had
bewitched them with sorcery.
He had deceived them. He had pulled the wool over their eyes through his magic. Sorcery is a magical art. Amen. So he had deceived them for a long time. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the
name of Jesus,
and the name of Jesus Christ, they were
baptized
both men and women. Then Simon himself believed
also
the sorcerer, the magician, believed
also.
But did he believe because he was following God, and did he believe because he wanted to get the upper hand on the people? Mm-hmm. All right, I give you some history in a few minutes, but let's keep going on in this. So Simon himself believed also, and he was
baptized.
He continued with Philip and, right? Now that's where you mess up at. Because when you follow God, you don't wonder. Right, so he's watching the miracles that God is performing. So why does he get baptized? To sell to the people, I'm just like you are. That's how the devil works, right? He goes and does everything that we do, but it's not from the sincerity of his heart. So he's wondering and beholding. He said, wait a minute, I used to do it, but I was tricking you. He's watching Philip. He said, wait a minute. What you're doing is real.
Amen.
So this caught his attention.
Yes.
He wondered. He beheld. He's like, whoa. In his mind, he's like, I got to get this power. Right? Because his whole thing is to deceive. Amen. It goes on to say that now when the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on, only they were. But how were they baptized? Every time in the book of Acts, which is the history of the church, they're baptized. They're baptized in the
name.
That's the word of God. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received
the Holy Ghost.
Right? Now, Simon is who? The sorcerer. Simon is the deceiver. Simon uses magic to trick people to think that he is God. The devil is still the same. Tricking people, thinking, and people think that the sorcerer is God. You know, if you read about it in the Old Testament, I think it's over 30 times, they talk about familiar spirits, right? Just like when Saul when Samuel had died, and Saul went to the witch of Engedi and said, call up Samuel. And then when the witch saw Samuel, Saul said, that is Samuel, that was not Samuel. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man. So once you die, you are. So what did they see? They did not see Samuel, but they saw a familiar spirit. They did not see Samuel because Samuel was dead and gone. In order for Samuel to come back, then Samuel would deny the word of God. Because he would have to come back in a physical sense. The Bible says once we die, the next meeting is the judgment. So familiar spirits are something that is summoned up by sorcerers. And all Israel history. Anyone that had familiar spirits and went down their witchcraft were what? Stone. They killed them because their spirit was contrary to God. So he said that he saw through the laying on the hand the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, and he offered them
money.
Right? This is the power of God. How you gonna buy what God does, right? Because he was the And when he got baptized, he only went down, but his nature did not change. He was still an illusionist. He still wanted to trick people to make them think that he was God. He said, give me this power. Amen. Verse 27, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of with money. Thou hast neither part nor. Yes, he got baptized. Yes, he supposedly believed. But Peter said, you don't have part. You don't have lot in this matter for thy heart. You can't do God's will if your heart is not right. He said, your heart is not right in the. So when you're dealing with a deceiver, you got to look beyond their actions. You got to look beyond their words. You got to look beyond their speech. You have to look at their very actions to see where is your heart. The problem with Simon was his heart was not right in the. Peter tells him to repent, therefore, of this thy. Wait a minute. Didn't he just get baptized? Yep. Didn't he just get baptized? Didn't they say he believed? Well, how is he wicked? Because he still was a sorcerer. His nature had not changed. Because when you go down in Jesus' name and your heart changed, you come up, the Bible said, behold, you are a new creature. It said, old things, when you change, you don't act like you act before you got baptized. Because you are now a new creature. He said, he was wickedness. He said, and pray God. He said, repent therefore this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps thou art, perhaps the thought of thine heart may be
forgiven
thee. For I perceive that thou art in the. You can't be right with God and you've been a. Did he get baptized? Who all know he got baptized? Y'all already, he got baptized. They said he believed. But the condition was where? In his heart. Now, for those of you that want history, Simon Magnus, M-A-G-N-U-S, was the one that actually went to Rome. Because Simon Peter never went to Rome. So when Simon Magnus went to Rome, he went disguising himself as an apostle. And so he still was some great man in the sight of God. So the Simon, unfortunately, that history teaches us that many believe was Simon Peter in the Catholic Church was never Simon Peter. But the Simon was Simon Magnus. Because Peter never went to Rome. History teaches that Simon Magnus was beginning of the Catholic Church. That's why John said, some went out from us. Because they weren't of us. So Simon Magnus actually tried to mix Christianity with sorcery. And he was the founder and beginning of what is known today as the, well, we ain't gonna see it here. Now y'all can do your own homework on that. I just figured I'd throw that out there for all intents and purposes. But the problem with the devil is he is an illusionist. Do you believe that your life is being governed by the truth of God's word? Amen. Are we following the spiritual illusionists?
Amen.
Are we following something that appears to be real when it is not, when it's not real? God is the God of all earth. God of all heaven. God knows us no matter what we say on the outside. Because God sees, he sees our heart. It is important for us to be very familiar with the word of God so that we are not deceived by Satan's magic. The same magic. Now, the first thing the devil has to do in order to get you to follow him is he has to get you to see it in an opposite direction. The Bible says when Eve saw. If you read about Samson, it said when Samson saw. So the number one thing that the devil does to get us to go in the wrong direction is he has to get us to see something that is not true as true. He has to get us to see something that is not the truth of God's word as the truth of God's word. So the only way that the devil can get the advantage is he has to twist the word of God. Actually, I have some illustrations that I'm going to show, but I didn't really, it's like I said, this all came at the last minute. But they were showing how illusionists, how they could take spiral and art, and they could put it on the paper, and when you look at it, it looked like it's all moving. Because of the illusion. And some of the stuff, I was like, wow. You know how you ever see, years ago when they, one of those programs used to come on, I don't know, what was that, but I forget the one, but you know the little spiral thing that was moving on TV? I don't know what it was. I just know it's a spiral, but right. But a lot of those spirals aren't moving. It's the trick. And when I looked at this, I'm like, wow. Because I looked at this one thing and it looked like the whole paper was just moving. And the guy said, that's the illusion. That's the trick. Because you see something that's not really there. Well, the problem is, he said, when your eyes perceive, they use stuff with your sight and they put it in such a way that it looks different. And then they showed this spiral thing that was going around and around, and it was red, it was green, it was blue, it was different colors. But that was an illusion, because when they separated, it was all one color. That's what the devil does to the church. He presents things in a way that makes it look one way, but in all actuality, it is not true. So it's so important that we know God's word so that we're not tricked.
Amen.
Jesus said, let no man, he said, in the last days, many will be
deceived.
Didn't Jesus say, broad will be the way and wide will be the gate and many that will be that will go therein? Why? Because of the deception. Amen? The devil is a great illusionist. He uses trickery and he uses lies. Amen? Have you ever been in the company of people and you know things are a certain way and they say, oh, you missed it. I said, what did I miss? Oh, that wasn't really what happened. Now you know what you saw, right? I'm just saying this is how evil people can trick you. You know what you saw, but then they begin to play with your mind. And they said, that's not what you really saw. Now, if you stick to your God, you say, that's what I saw, ain't nothing you can say will make me change. then you're all right. But then when you begin to wonder, well, did I really see that? Maybe you're right, maybe I did not see that. Then you know that they got you going in the wrong direction. All the devil wants is a little bit.
Amen.
Just give him a little bit. He said, okay, good. Now I got your attention. Now watch what I'm getting ready to do to you. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So are we going to be deceived by the devil, or do we follow God? Now, how can we follow God and his word if we don't study?
Amen.
How can we believe everything that is out there if we don't know God's word? The devil will use pride to convince us that we are doing what is acceptable. The devil will use pride to make us say, well, I'm doing what's right in the sight of God. And then in the back of your mind, you say, well, maybe I'm not doing what's right, but I don't want to be embarrassed to do the right thing. And for pride's sake, I just keep doing the wrong thing.
Jesus.
Don't let pride destroy you.
Amen.
You know why the devil uses pride against the church? Because pride got him kicked out of heaven. The very thing he said, if pride got me, I'm going to use the same pride to get you. Amen? So we have to be careful of pride. Pride is pride. I know I'm wrong, but guess what? I'm going to stay wrong.
Jesus.
I know I didn't act right, but guess what? I'm going to stay. That's the devil getting a foothold. That's the devil tricking you. That's the devil making you think I'm in full control. Now, remember, he does it little by little. So, the person that's caught out or strung out on pornography, for example, in the beginning, they only peaked. But then, after peaking, they began to stare. Then, after they stared, it got the advantage of them. And then, when you talk to them, they say, I can stop this anytime. That's the pride. Because they said, I'm in full control, when they know actuality. The pornography is in control. The alcoholic, the same way. You ever talk to an alcoholic, they say, I can stop this anytime I want to stop this. That's the trick. That's the illusion. Because what's controlling, you're not controlling the alcohol. Alcohol is controlling you. The person that's strung out on nicotine, and I saw my father die because of cigarettes. I said, if anybody ever saw what my father went through, they never spoke a cigarette again in their life. Having a trach, couldn't breathe, couldn't talk, couldn't help himself. I was like, we should all get together and do something to this cigarette industry to live all these years, right?
Yeah.
Because then to make situations worse today, they put more nicotine and tar in it to make it even more addictive.
Yeah.
But the cigarette smokers said, I can stop this.
Yeah.
You ever see some of those commercials of people on TV and what's happening?
Yeah.
How do you allow this nicotine to control me? That's the trick. The devil has you thinking that I can control this. And then when things get really messed up, you think, I got to take a smoke. That's not going to fix you. That's going to kill you. That's the trick. That's the deception. So you're smoking, right? And the sad part is this, most of those people smoke can't even afford it. They can't even afford to live or take care of themselves, but they caught on a trick of the devil. So that's what the devil does. He said, you can stop this anytime. The lie is, I can stop lying anytime I want. But that's the trick. So the devil is in full control. And in the back of your mind, you think that I'm in control and I can do this whenever I want. Don't let him trick you. Don't be deceived by the deceiver. Amen? That's part of his trick. Now, what the devil likes to do is he likes to take God's word. How many of us are saved and we know we're saved?
Amen.
You're the one who's born. want those that are really living for God. He said, how do I live for God and my life get worse? Because the devil is trying to frustrate you. He's trying to use his illusions to make you think it was better when you were out in the world on your way to hell than it is when you're in church on your way to heaven. Thing is, look at somebody and say, that's the trick. Don't let him trick you. Don't let him deceive you. Amen. So he wants to use his sorcery. He wants to create insecurities. You know, I got to be with somebody. I got to be with this. The man said, I got to be with this woman. The woman said, that's insecurities. So he used your insecurities to get you all wrapped up, tied up in a bad situation. I heard somebody say, all we need is Jesus. Don't think you need him. That's the trick. You say, all my life I just fall apart. I don't need you. Yeah. Brownies. No, I do need you, but I don't need you more. The trick the devil uses is, if you don't have them, your life is going to fall apart. Well, what happens if they die? You know, the young people say, I got to have them, I got to have them. Then they die and move on. Because that was the trick. That was the deception. Got you wrapped up in something. All wrapped up, and when you can follow something opposite of God, you're being tricked. So let's go through a few things, brother. I have orders, and I have to follow my marching orders from God. Alright, let's go through it. God's word says, what is impossible with men is possible with God, right? This is God's word. So we have to know God's word. We have to have a firm foundation. Amen. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed. Is that? Yeah, I'm trying to say, which chapter is that? Psalm. I know it's Psalms 10:4 or 9:4 or 10:5. Anyway, y'all look, is it one of those, right? But it said, if the foundation, and we need to go there. Let's go to this for 1 minute, okay? Go to Psalms chapter 10, because we don't want to just throw stuff out there hypothetically, but if we're going to have a case, we might as well have the evidence to prove the case. Can we say praise the Lord? So I think it's Psalms chapter 10, verse 5. I haven't looked at this one in a little while, but I used to know it. It says, if the foundation be destroyed, which one is it? Is it Psalm 10? Is it Psalm 9? Is it Psalm 11? There's one of those Psalms. Right? I know it's in there. 11. Okay. All right. 11:3. We were in the right area. Just the wrong address. All right. So Psalm 11:3 says, if the
foundation be destroyed,
our life, our salvation is dependent upon the foundation of the Word of God. It says, if the foundation be
destroyed,
if the devil can break down your faith, our confidence in the Word of God, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Bible said, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So the devil goes right to the foundation, which is the Word of God. So God's word says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And it also says in Luke 1:27, for with God shall be but the great liar.
Yes.
The great illuminist said that's impossible. It will never happen. So who do you believe? The illusionist and the liar, or do you believe God? God says with men these things
are possible.
But with God all things
are possible.
And it says with God nothing shall be impossible. But the liar. See, you're going to be like that forever. It's never going to change. It is not possible. So who do you believe? The liar and the illusionist? Or do you believe God? Remember, if the foundation, if the devil can get at the Word of God, if he can rob that from your heart, to do. You have nothing to stand on. Amen? So Satan is an illusionist. The Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, but shall have, right? This is what the Word of God says. But the illusionist says, you're not going to make it. Nobody cares about you. You're going to die of your sin and go to hell. That's the illusionist. He said, you don't even have a friend. You know, you ever say, well, what do you really think about it? What friends do I have? Just don't believe that lie. The Bible says that concerning Jesus, he called us friends. He said, I lay down my life for my friends. But the illusionist get, nobody don't care, nobody thinks about, God cares. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave himself for us. But the illusionist got to get you, he has to break the foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. If the foundation be destroyed, what are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to, amen? The Word of God tells us I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The illusionist says, I just can't do it. I can't take it. I can't make it. Oh, woe is me. I'm just in the gutter of this. Who are you going to believe? The illusionist, the liar of God. He said, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And then he says in Philippians 4:6, in Mark 11:24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and ye shall have them. That's Mark 11:24. But the illusionist says, no, that's never going to happen. It's never going to take place. Who do you believe? The Word of God? Don't be tricked by the trickster. Don't let him take that Word of God out of your heart. Amen? Now, the Word of God, y'all with me? The Word of God says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a
sound mind.
But the devil got everybody walking around in fear. Oh, I'm so scared. Oh, I'm so afraid. Oh, I'm not going to go, let somebody go with me. If you got Jesus, you got more than enough. If you really are afraid, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. When things get bad, you don't need nobody. Just call on Jesus. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. But I can't be righteous if I doubt God. So the devil gets you thinking, I'm so afraid. The scriptures say, where there is fear, there is torment. Does God torment us? Does God want to see us all wrapped up and messed up in our mind? So what is wrong? We're believing the lie instead of believing the truth. Amen? The trickster got you so afraid. Oh, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Believe God, because God never gave the church. Thus, fear is a what?
Spirit.
Fear is a
spirit.
Spirit. So when you say, well, I'm just so afraid, God, that's not in God's spirit. God gave us a spirit, and that spirit is the Holy Ghost. So when you start acting all afraid, and you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, guess who's governing your life? It certainly is not God. Well, I was afraid to make this stand. I'm afraid to do that. Stop giving the devil the glory. Say, Lord, you know, I'm going to step out of this. And I'm going to do it even though I don't know how it's going to turn out. Martin Luther King says, faith is this. Taking the first step. Even when you can't see the staircase. Right? That's what he said. He said, you got to take a step even though you don't see the staircase. Most of us won't do nothing because I can't see it. Faith is believing even when you don't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for?
There it is.
You won't see it, but you still gotta say, but the illusionist won't get you to do it. I won't apply for the job. I won't do this. But why don't you do anything? I'm just so afraid. Kill that spirit.
Amen.
That's not of God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
God's word tells us that we're supposed to cast all of our
cares upon him.
Cast
upon all.
What's all mean?
All.
Right. Casting all your cares
upon him.
It says be careful for
nothing.
So God tells us don't be all wrapped up and tied up in anxiety. You hear boom and you're whole scared for now that you got it. The devil uses any little thing to get the advantage. So you're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow when the Bible says sufficient unto the day is evil. The Lord says take no thought
for tomorrow.
Then it don't mean be careless or live haphazardly. But you're not supposed to be worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow because they said worry is because the devil, the illusionist, got you all wrapped up in worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. When the Bible tells us to cast all of our cares upon him because he
cares for us.
Who cares for us? Why are you all? Now, some people, I know y'all got bad habits. I see somebody in the back chewing y'all's fingernails. I ain't going to say that. Why are you chewing your finger that you just ate dinner? And then you want to buy them sick all the time. Well, they'll kind of touch some germs. But I'm saying, the devil got us, we don't have nothing, you know. The devil is stealing your joy because you're worrying about something that did not yet. Matter of fact, something happened the other day. I was like, God, devil, you die. I ain't got to worry about that too. You got to take care of yourself. We have to trust God. We got to believe God. Stop believing the trick and believe God. But the trickster gets you to doubt God's word. Then when the foundation is destroyed, you don't have nowhere to go. You have no hope. You have no trust. Why? Because the foundation is destroyed. Didn't the Bible say in a great house?
Yes.
In a
great house.
There's not only gold and silver, wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. But if a man would purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto
honor.
Be sanctified for the master's use and prepared unto
every good.
It's time for us to get back on the foundation of God's word. Now I just have a couple more. God's word tells us that he will never leave us, neither will he. God said, no matter how bad it gets, I'm still with you. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. And then when Jesus resurrected, how many know when the Lord died, his apostles were losing hope? So when he came back and spoke to them, he said, all power. Don't y'all worry about nothing. He said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. He said, because I have all power, he said, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end. How would the devil get the church wondering that if God with me is not God with me? If God because of the trickster. The trickster makes us believe God mad at you because of something you did when you were 2 years old and then you're 50.
Jesus.
When you're 50. Now, y'all don't raise your hand. What are you going way back then when you was a child for? The trickster. To get the advantage, gotta take you to a weak moment.
Jesus.
Seriously. He gotta take you to a weak moment. Like marriage is all messed up. Well, why are you married? Because we ought to be glorying in the strength. But we allow the trickster to take us back to a weak moment. And then we can't figure out why everything is all messed up. Stop believing the trickster. Don't let him take you to the weak points. A million good things has happened. And he can only magnify one bad thing. Why? He is the trick. He's the illusionist. He has to get the advantage. So he has to get you to go somewhere where you ought not to go. But then when you go there in the beginning, you're like, you know, human nature. How many of y'all human? Raise your hand. If y'all ain't human, don't raise your hand. Right? If y'all ain't human, don't raise your hand. Human nature says, I really don't believe that. I know that ain't true. But the trickster starts dancing in the playground of your mind.
Jesus.
You say, well, you know, you ever look at somebody and say, well, that is not even their nature. I don't believe they could do that. But the trickster said, well, how are you going to trust them? You can't believe that. And then you're doubting something that you know is not true. And you say, well, now this is how they tell you, this is how sin is. In the beginning, he said, man, I despise sin. I can't get involved. That's wrong. That displeases God. The trickster said, well, do it just a little bit. Right? If you do it a little bit, God won't be mad at you. Besides that, he gives you grace and his mercies anew every morning. So the trickster gets you to say, okay, I'll do it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the trickster, yo, listen, this is how the trickster is called. You did it. Nothing didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I told you can trust me. So then the trickster gets you to go away a little further. He said, well, remember, nothing that happened last time, so ain't nothing going to happen
this time.
And God is right there saying, stop. I'm your father. Stop listening to the father of all lies. But then you say, well, you know, you ever get comfortable in your own? All right, I'm overtime. Y'all, when I'm on overtime, I get paid double. So y'all gotta get double time. All right, I'm on overtime. But Patricia said, well, you know, this is the sick, sad part of the church. When we know we're wrong and refuse to change. Because we've learned to take God's grace and goodness for granted. The Bible said, don't presume on God's
mercies.
Don't presume on his what? Let's go to Psalm 19, and I promise we will close here. The trickster gets you to presume. Wrong, lie, dishonest, this, whatever it is, but you keep doing it because I am presuming. I can do it in that any kind of way. Listen, you can, but be assured of this. The Bible says every sin and every transgression receives a just recompense of reward. So God might not strike you dead, but you got to pay if you're wrong. If the foundation be destroyed, what will, don't be deceived by the trickster. We'll close here in Psalm 19, and let's go to verse 12. Actually, you should read the whole Psalm, but the whole thing is good. The whole Psalm 19, but for the sake of time, and because I don't want y'all to have to pay triple tithes, because right, the longer I go, the more it costs. No, I'm only kidding. No, you only got to pay triple tithes. Just be regular tithes, we'll be all right. I told somebody the other day, I said, everybody just pay tithes, and we don't have to have no fundraising. I said, well, dinners, we're fast-raising, nothing else. If everybody would just pay their tithes, no charge. All right, let's go to verse 12. It says, let's go to verse 11. This is talking about the Word of God, all right? This is what the Word of God does for us. If you love God and His Word, and you hide it in your heart, this is what God's Word has done. He said, "Behold, by them is thy servant
warned."
When you get God's Word in you, even when you get ready to mess up, His Word will
warn you.
"Behold, by them is thy servant and warning, the keeping of them that is
great reward."
So God's Word will warn us. Then stop listening to that other lie. Don't listen to the voice. Because when you keep them, the Bible says there is a
great reward.
You don't even just get a normal reward. You get a what kind of reward?
Great reward.
Why are you throwing away your rewards? By not keeping God's word. Right? Somebody says, "I just want a reward. I want a great reward." Amen. So when you keep God's word, you get a what kind of reward?
Great.
A great reward. And verse 13 says, 12 says, "Who can understand? So His word will cleanse them from
secret faults."
The word. Secret fault is some stuff down in you. When you listen to God's word, "My mind is telling me this, but my heart is telling me something else."
Amen.
"My mind is telling me, you have to do this, but something down inside of me telling me don't do that." God is trying to hold you back. Amen. But the devil says, "You know what? You ought to let them have it." Right? That's about what percentage of people is that? All right, that's about 1% that hold back. Another 99% of us let them have it. Hold it back. God is warning you. Say, hold it back. Right? So who can understand the error of his way? Cleanse out me from the parts that I don't even know. Secret faults. There's some stuff in you. You know it's there. And you put up the facade, right? Well, let's get to the main thing. So keep back thy servant also from
presumptuous things.
We're not supposed to presume on God's mercy to sin willingly, knowingly, and keep doing it. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. He said, let them what?
Not have dominion.
When you presume on God's mercies and keep sinning over and over, that thing has
dominion.
Somebody said, "Well, I tried to stop." You didn't try to stop. Because if you stop, God will give you the grace. Somebody said, "The problem is great." When the problem is great, God gives you great grace. Because He's God. And God gives us what we need in measure to what's coming at us. Because if God didn't give us what we need when something great comes against us, then He's not a God of His word.
Amen.
So the greater the problem, the greater the grace. Well, why don't I have the great grace? Because you're not standing on the foundation of His word. "Let them not have dominion over them, they shall be upright, and I shall be innocent of them." It's a great transgression when you presume on God's mercies. When you willingly do the wrong thing. When you willingly sin. Now, there are two types of sins. There's a sin of commission, and then there's a sin of omission. Commission is when you just blatantly, "I'm going to do it, and ain't nobody going to do nothing to stop me. I know I'm sinning, but I'm going to send my way all the way to hell. I'm going to enjoy."
Jesus.
Be careful. In about 1,000 years from there, you're going to wish you hadn't done that. Right? Because the way you die, the way you stay forever, ain't no taking that back. Right? I don't care how much penance and purgatory and teach, God's word will teach you that. Right? Where you die, the way you stay. So you ain't supposed to get it right. So we can just sin and sin and sin and don't even bother us. But the Bible says, it is a what kind of transgression? Y'all get off quiet, come on. Stay with me. And if you're quiet in this hint, you're going to change.
Amen.
You don't have to stay like that. that condition. You don't have to keep believing the lies. Well, how do I change? How do I correct the errors of my ways? The first way you do it is by what you
say.
Right? A lot of people say, well, it's my tongue and I can say whatever I want to say. Yes, and I'm really able to. And the Bible says, I think it's full of what? Deadly poison. And no man can tame it, but God can. So the number one way that you straighten it, he said, let the words
of my mouth
have mercy, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I want to change. I'm tired of this transgression. I'm tired of this racism. So God, let the
words of my mouth
change my speech. God can't change you if you don't change your speech. And then you keep presuming, yeah, I know, I'm so sorry, God forgive me. Change. Stop doing it. God gives us grace to overcome our weakness. Didn't he tell Paul, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Stop believing the lies, we all stand. Stop presuming on God's mercies. If you want to define presuming on God's mercies and presuming in the same sin, stop being you. It's time for us to reflect God. As the elders and the ministers come forward. Who are you going to believe tonight? God and his word? Are you going to believe the great illusions that's making you see life as it really isn't? One day we're going to all have to die and give an account to God. Say whatever you say, whatever you want to do, you know. Listen, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't like what the preacher said. If the preacher's speaking God's word, you better buy it.
Amen.
The Bible says, buy the truth in. Sell it not. Yes, it does. If the preacher's telling you the truth, don't buy it. Huh? It says, buy the truth in.
Sell it not.
Why? Only the truth can get you to heaven. Because once you buy the lie, who's the father of all lies? It's when you believe the lie. Who's your father? If you buy the lie, who's your father?
The devil.
The devil's your father. It's time for us. You know what? I remember there was years ago, I used to mess up a little bit. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Can I tell on me? I mess up. I was like, man, Lord, I go to preach with people all the time. So I'm sitting in my seat, my mind's just beating up. Because my heart and spirit say, you need to go get prayer because you know you mess up. But my pride says, what is the people going to think when I go and get prayer? God is telling me in my soul of a pride. Then within myself, I say, you know what? God already knows. I can't care what people have to think about me. In order for me to go to heaven,